Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, DFW. Glad to have each and every one of you on board on a Monday night. And much like we have followed up the Rangers for the better part of the last 6 months, you know, look, sometimes they won. A lot of times we'd follow them up after a win. Well, unless you've been living in Abu Dhabi and don't have internet access, wow. Rough go of it yesterday for your Dallas Cowboys as they fall to the Chicago Bears yesterday by a final score of 31-14. We'll get to all the ins, outs, in-betweens, and of course, my boy Blake Elliott, the gentleman to my right.
Really not at your right, but sure.
What other direction would you be? No, you're to my right. Blake's got some injury updates in case you guys haven't heard throughout the course of the day. Now, a lot of you probably already know about Mr. CeeDee Lamb. He was hurt yesterday in the ball game, tried to tough it out because he is a warrior out on the gridiron. However, the high ankle sprain was just too much to overcome, and therefore number 88 was unable to return to play.
Yeah, per Todd Archer, Pro Bowl wide receiver CeeDee Lamb could miss 3 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain, left ankle sprain, suffered in Sunday's loss to the Bears, according to a source. We've also seen 4 to 6 weeks be reported as well. And then Jerry Jones actually commented on this today. He confirmed the Cowboys will be without CeeDee Lamb and Tyler Booker for the month. He said they're talking about whether the injury reserve is an option for one or both of them. If you missed the Tyler Booker news, Tyler Booker also has an ankle sprain. He'll miss 4 to 6 weeks, according to a source. That was with Clarence Hill tweeting that out earlier. So, at minimum, your right guard that you drafted 12th overall and a top three wide receiver on your team in CeeDee Lamb, or top three wide receiver in the league, CeeDee Lamb, you will be without them for the next month. So, about as bad as news can get following an embarrassing loss.
I mean, talk about a 180, a heel turn, if you will. And, of course, behind the glass, we've got the khakis of the khaki, the one, the only Mr. Khaki, Kevin Walker. Welcome to the program, sir.
Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy. What a range of emotions that we've gone through in the last week.
Yeah.
I mean,
Let's do 2 weeks. Because 2 weeks ago, the Cowboys had just beaten the Eagles.
Just lost to the Eagles,
but a moral victory. Felt good coming out of it. The Rangers,
you were encouraged.
The Rangers were still in the run.
Yeah, well. H-Town.
It was.
I wasn't near as optimistic about the Rangers as all you were.
Yeah, but I'm just saying 2 weeks ago, life was clearly good. Life was good in DFW.
I mean, was I wrong?
No, you weren't wrong.
What I say a month ago, this team gave me 82-80 vibes.
You did. But life was good 2 weeks ago.
Thank you.
This is, right now, just full encompassing. I know we hate Houston, but just in general, the state of Texas is not having a good September.
It's a bad month for the Lone Star State right now. It is bad. I mean, look.
The Texans suck. The Cowboys suck. We're going to go over some Houston Rocket news that came out.
Who do you feel worse for right now? Let me rephrase that. Who is more embarrassing right now? The Texans and their 0-3 start, or the Cowboys and their 1-2 start?
The Texans, because the Texans had higher aspirations. There was more. There was a good majority of smart people, people who cover the NFL for a living, picking the Texans to win the division.
Yeah,
and with a overall, I would say, better roster, more people believed in the roster. We detailed the offensive line stuff and getting weapons and yada yada yada, but nobody was like, "Oh, Texans will have a bottom five draft pick." People were like, could win the division, at worst finish second in the division.
A wild card, right?
Wild card.
That's what I had them as. No,
nobody really had them playing as poorly as they have been, and that's what C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans have done, and we're going to detail some of that at 9:20, how bad some of these teams have been this year. And I'll say this. We're going to go over Blake's picks at 10:20. I think this was one of the craziest weeks in the NFL we've seen. It just showed you. I was on the phone with my friend for about an hour just talking about
Bob?
The NFL. With Bob on the phone about an hour just talking about football. And
Bob talking big smack after yesterday? He's a Bears fan,
right? He really wasn't talking big smack. He just said there's nothing really good.
Relief. Just relief.
He said, we got our first win. I'm not that excited. Y'all aren't that good. We're not that good. It's just not really much to go for. But what I was getting to is this was just a weird week of football. We're going to detail all of it throughout the show and go more in depth with some of these games. But the Colts are still dominating. The Bucks barely beat the Jets.
Yeah.
The Browns beat the Packers. The Eagles started throwing the ball. Like, everything that, like, hasn't been happening, or the weird stuff that has been happening, a.k.a. the Colts. It's just a weird week.
Commanders won with a backup quarterback. What did we say? We said Marcus Mariota's good for a couple games a year.
Did you think 40, though? I did.
I didn't expect to put a 40 burger. But I'll tell you what, the Raiders are eerily reminiscent of the Cowboys. Right. I mean,
I don't pay as close detail to them, so I can't comment too high. Like, I don't know how suspect their defense is. I mean, it hasn't looked good in the box score.
You don't know how suspect their defense. They just gave up 41 points to Marcus Mariota, for God's sakes. I mean, they've gotten blown out twice out of 3 weeks.
They got a running back by committee back there. The Commanders are a team that's still just kind of like just piecing it together game by game and just blew out the Raiders. But it was either you got blown out or a bad team won a close game.
Or it was just kind of like what we saw last night in the Sunday night game, where you just mucked it up long enough because one team was really bad and one team used to be good, and we're trying to figure out what the hell their story is. Talking about the Kansas City Chiefs last night, we'll talk about that later on in the program as well. I mean, look, if you're the Giants, you've got to go ahead and make that quarterback change.
That was one of the hardest, bro. These standalone games, man, they are either phenomenal, like the one we're watching right now, Lions and Ravens, or they are just hard to watch. Yeah. I love football, and my friend was texting me to get on the game last night. I said, "Hey, I got the Monday Night Football game on." He said, "Yeah, I stopped watching it at halftime."
A Sunday night game.
And part of me was like, if this wasn't my job, I would not be watching this game, because that was like watching paint dry, watching Russell Wilson drop back, and the fourth quarter, it was a hard game to watch all the way through. And then the fourth quarter didn't get any easier from a viewer standpoint watching the Giants try to move the ball down.
I mean, I think from a Chiefs perspective, it was a much more enjoyable second half than it was first half.
I'm sure it's from a Chiefs fan, like watching Russell Wilson play. It's like, oh, we're going to win this game.
I wasn't really worried about Russell Wilson. I was more worried about the offense.
Whose offense?
The Chiefs' offense.
Yeah. I'm just saying, as a nonpartisan, didn't really care who won the game, Russell Wilson on the goal line when they throw the ball out of the end zone three times and then they run a quarterback draw.
Okay, the
terrible play
intentional
call.
Grounding call.
Yeah, he threw it in the tunnel.
Well, I mean, that's fine, but I mean, I figured, okay, so it was a bad throw. I mean,
no, because they should have, it was like 10 yards over his head. It has to be like an intended receiver. You can't just like chunk it, right? Apparently, according to the rule book.
I mean, you could be like, hey, the guy ran the wrong route and Russell Wilson's terrible.
And Superman. And then it's fourth and goal. I know we're going to get to your Cowboys, guys. We love football, and the Cowboys game wasn't that fun to watch.
We'll regurgitate that nonsense from yesterday.
It was fourth and goal, the game on the line, and he just chunks it out of bounds. Like, yes. I don't even care if you throw a pick. No one cares if you throw a pick on fourth and goal right there.
At least give your receiver a chance.
He chunks it out the end zone.
Malik Nabers was nowhere to be found last week.
I would assume he wasn't. I think he had two. Because he had
one. Oh, yeah. I think it was like three catches for 38 yards for the three. Because
he had one until like the final drive and a half or something.
They had some crazy stat. Him and Wandale Robinson went for like, I don't know, 10 for 220 last week or something like that.
Yeah, they
3 for 38 yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it just happens. I tweeted it out. Follow me on Twitter at @BlakeLive__.
What a plug.
The Fan University. The Cowboys defense, I don't think I'm breaking news to anybody here.
It's not just good.
It's just a get-right game for every quarterback.
It's awful. I'm going to put it like this. Blake gave me my flowers for my Javonte Williams.
I'll give it to you again. You called it Javonte.
Recommendation.
And Javonte has not just been serviceable. He's been a good running back.
He's been one of the best running backs in the NFL for 3 weeks.
He has been a good running back. I think Javonte he's been a bright spot for
him. I'll tell you what, and I didn't think this was going to be possible. You said bottom five. They might be the worst defense in the NFL. Okay, like
I said, it's the moment Micah Parsons got traded. The same day,
I said 20th in the league. Like I figured, all right. I mean, look, I knew they weren't going to be that good, but I figured, hey, Eberflus can scheme some stuff up. He's had success before. He's been good at creating takeaways. You've got 17 defensive ends on this team that somebody's got to get to the quarterback. And you've heard about it all day here on 105.3 The Fan. You've heard him talk about it in the postgame show. Brian Broaddus has gone into it a lot the last couple days, at least, last night postgame and then again today. You've just got a defensive end group, and I don't know when it – look, Dante Fowler has been non-existent.
Donovan Ezeraku, James Houston, and Marshawn Nealon had a combined what? Pass rush win rate against the Bears?
7%.
0% win rate.
I mean, that's I'm not.
And I don't know if all the Tolos and Fatties are really taking all that in. The Chicago Bears came into this game with an awful tackle position.
Like you talked about that ad nauseum Saturday and Sunday on these airwaves, that this was one of those games where the left tackle has been a revolving door for defensive ends.
12 pressures in 2 games, Braxton Jones. Darnell Wright at the right tackle, the 10th overall pick for them 2 years ago, has been atrocious.
He went out early, didn't he?
When I was talking to Bob, he said every play, for the most part, on a drop back where there's a serious passing concept, Caleb Williams has been pressured this season.
Yeah.
Like they can't get anything from their tackles. And he said, when I saw that game last night, this is from a diehard Bears fan, he said that was the first game — Caleb Williams does have a short career, but in Caleb Williams' short career — that he has not been pressured.
Never been
like
sacked.
Didn't get sacked. And there was no pressure anyways.
None.
It's not as if the Cowboys were half an inch away and Caleb Williams was making these off-platform throws and evading the rush. Caleb Williams was making s'mores in the backfield last night.
Look, that flea flicker where it was almost kind of like a busted play.
High DeAndre Swift threw the ball back to him?
You might as well be just playing catch the backyard and, Luther Burden just kind of off in his own little world somewhere.
I'm just frustrated because at that point, is it a good play call? Yes. And Ben Johnson said after the game, they called that play specifically because of what they had saw Matt Eberflus put on tape.
Yeah.
That's one just like a dig at Eberflus personally. Like, hey, you used to be a part of this Bears organization. We see how you call defense. We know what you do. We're going to get you on this play that's elementary, like a flea flicker. And you mentioned it. The ball goes 10 feet in the air on the flea flicker from Swift back to Caleb Williams. If you're those corners and safeties, you get fooled. It's a good play. You might be a step behind, and they get a 30-yard gain. But they're, in the backfield.
Still.
What do you think? You think DeAndre Swift just fumbled in the air 9 yards? No, Caleb Williams is standing there about to receive the pass, and there's nobody back there. And what was that? That was Rome? Was that Rome on
that? No, that was Luther Burden.
Luther Burden screaming down the field wide open.
Luther Burden had himself a ball game yesterday. I mean, if you snuck him on your fantasy roster, you were feeling pretty good about things.
Tell me one redeeming factor to his defense not named a nose tackle.
And I'm not even sold on the nose tackles right now from a run perspective. I mean, or excuse me, from a pass perspective. I mean, they're great at the run. All right, but who cares? Nobody's
running on you.
They don't need to.
They've got that. They're like, hey, we're not going to run on the Cowboys, and that's great.
Fine. We'll just dot you all night. I mean,
we can just throw screen passes and make that our run game.
First of all, shout out to everybody yesterday at the Bearded Monkey over in Rockwall. We had a great time yesterday. Shout out to Scott Long and Ava who put that together. And then, of course, our boy Jason's operations director over there and then what was our boy, what was the other dude's name? Joey, the guy that was bebopping around yesterday. I mean, we had a phenomenal time yesterday. It was a lot of fun.
Shout out to all the Tolos and Fatties.
All the Tolos and Fatties showed up out there yesterday, just showing up and showing out. But, one of the things that while we were there watching the game, and you pointed this out, was every single touchdown throw, the wide receiver was wide open.
Wide open.
When nobody around.
When a wide receiver catches a pass and is still standing up after the touchdown, that's how you know your coverage is bad. Almost every touchdown you watch, doesn't matter if it's your team, whatever, you're watching Red Zone, you're watching Twitter clips, highlights, YouTube, whatever. I would say like 83, 85% of the time, the receiver's falling down because they're getting hit.
Could DJ Moore have been any more wide open? And what was Donovan Wilson doing?
Donovan Wilson.
What was, I mean, look,
on the DJ Moore one, I think that was Malik Hooker. Donovan was on the other side. Malik Hooker.
No, Donovan Wilson went to go, remember? Donovan Wilson went to like, I don't know what he went to do. Honestly, it went viral because it was like, he was standing there, he kind of crept up into the box. He creeped, there's one guy, and then.
I think that was Hooker. I'm almost 95% sure that was Hooker. Because Donovan.
Well, it might have been a different touchdown. Because no, Donovan, trust me, there was a play where Donovan Wilson.
You're talking about where he tries to go to the screen.
Well, he just
pass
looks and, at it. Yeah. And there's no, but there's also a guy already there. Yeah. So it looked like, because you and I watched it yesterday, I said, is he thinking that maybe he's going to, you know, cheat and maybe pick something off? And
there's already a defender there.
But there's already a defender there.
The only thing you have to do is cover.
But no,
DJ
Malik
Moore.
Hooker got scored. I mean, Malik Hooker just stood there, too. I mean, you had both your safeties who just stood there. And the thing, real quick, the thing about Malik Hooker that I don't understand, he's played in Eberflus' system before. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So was Sanborn.
So, I mean, don't even get me started on Jack Sanborn. All I know is this, okay? And I'm just, you try to give deference to these guys. I get it. Three D coordinators in 3 years. All right.
Part of the game.
If Eberflus's system is that convoluted and that complex, to the point where Shoddy's like, maybe we do need to simplify some things. Like, what are you doing?
Okay.
What are you doing that's so complicated on defense?
People keep saying it's complicated and convoluted. It don't look like it. It does not look like a watch. It doesn't seem like they're running a bunch of different concepts out there.
You're just out there.
They're running cover two and running and rushing forward. Maybe a little bit of cover three sprinkled in there. Every once in a while, they go single high. And for some reason, Donovan Wilson's the guy deep for you, guy, in the middle third. It doesn't seem that complicated out there. They don't seem to be able to execute. And the bigger problem is they're able to do their initial play. Hey, the quarterback's in this kind of setup. Yeah. There's this many receiver sets. What kind of personnel they're in. We're going to go cover two. We're playing match zone. Whatever they're doing. And then when there's an adjustment, there's some motion. They don't know what to do. Maybe half the players do. How many times last night, guys, Tolos, 877-881-1053, did it seem like half of the team was playing zone, the other half of the team's playing man? Where you just got...
Well, and then let's just be real, all right? And the second... I mean, here's the problem. And well, there's lots of problems. But when you've got a pass rush that is non-existent, and then you've got a secondary that can't cover, I mean, I mean, that's a poison pill every time.
Every team is going to have their way on this Cowboys defense. What you got for us?
We got audio.
We got audio. Jerry has spoken. Dak has spoken. Your head coach has spoken.
Shoddy has spoken.
Everybody has spoken. Maybe they can make some sense to what this Cowboys team is doing. We'll do that as well as laying out the show on the other side.
8 minutes left in the second quarter. Snap to Prescott. They fake it to Sanders. He rolls left, throws it to the left side of the end zone, and Pickens throws out the Inspector Gadget hand and pulls it in for the touchdown.
That replay from yesterday's ball game, Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg on the call. I mean, hey, look, great that he could haul it in the touchdown. It'd be nice if when you had two hands on the ball, you'd be able to wrangle it in, but that didn't happen yesterday. It led to an interception, and of course, it just felt like went from bad to worse yesterday. This is the Fan After Dark on a Monday night, tough day. Day after the Cowboys lost, they fall to 1-2 on the season. But rest assured, the one nice thing they got going for them is they are not the worst team in the division. That belongs to the New York Giants.
You're not far off. Not far off. You're a 64-yard field goal from being the worst.
Look. You got Butter Aubrey, okay? That's the and they're in trouble, right? As far as, I mean, hell, they don't even have a kicker right now.
Graham Gano
was hurt yesterday, so they were, and then you got Russell Wilson. You know, the sad thing about what's going on right now for this Dallas Cowboys team, now the interception in the end zone yesterday in the second half.
I didn't really make much of it.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that you win the game because obviously the defense was probably going to give
like
it
the
a score anyway.
The defense is so bad, he's forcing it at that point. And that's when Dak's not at his best. When he's forcing it, there's no CD.
Well, you didn't help
pressing
him either, though, right? Like, and I heard these guys talking about it. I think it was, I don't know if it was the post game. You and I were coming back from Rockwall, if it was today. You're at the 2-yard line. Run the ball. Like, run the ball. I mean, Javonte Williams, as you alluded to in the first segment, is one of the best running backs in the NFL right now.
I think he had 10 carries for, I want to say like 76 yards.
Javonte Williams rushed for 76 yards on 10 carries. His 7.6 yards per carry was the highest rushing average by a Cowboy, minimum 10 carries, since Tony Pollard had 9.36 yards per carry in 2022 against
Chargers.
The Chicago Bears. So
I just remember that Chargers game, him going off. That was a fun one to watch.
By the way, Jake Ferguson's 20 receptions, 27 receptions.
I'm about to say 20 receptions.
Might as well have been 20.
Feels, I mean, you know, I hadn't gotten more than 5 yards per catch. But Jake Ferguson's 27 receptions in 2025 are the most by any Cowboys player through the first 3 games of an NFL season.
I'll go off on Jake Ferguson in the next segment. We got some audio to play brought to you by Window Nation. Shout out to them. Let's figure out about CD. Let's hear from Jerry and the man himself on what this injury is looking like. It's going to be cut three for Jerry. What does Jerry Jones have to say about CeeDee Lamb's injury?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I talked to him. He felt good about it, really did. And I just talked to him just a second ago, and he thought he could go, so that's a good sign. And then the doctors told him that they thought it was not as serious as it could be.
I will say, after that was post game, and the reporting since then, aka today, has been that there's a good chance he'll go on the IR, miss 3 to 4 weeks, maybe even at a higher volume. CeeDee Lamb, I'm going to save you the cuts of him just saying, I think I was good to go. It's pretty much what he says. I was fine. I think I could play next week. It wasn't that big of a deal. Let's hear CeeDee just talking about how he felt post-game compared to real time.
Much better than the first quarter, I could tell you that.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to CD7 right here. This is when he ran the route on the sideline post-injury. How did you feel after you did that? This is when CD came back into the game after he had hurt himself, and he kind of pulled up lame on when he was in the end zone.
I think that was kind of self-explanatory. I wasn't even able to go. So, I was rushing it a little bit there.
Rushing it. And then the last one we're getting from CD right here, playing through injuries. What sort of mentality does this come from? We talked about this last year and the year before when CD was banged up. We applauded him for playing through the shoulder injuries, trying to make tough catches even when the season was over. How has that mentality stayed with you, CD?
It's always me. It's me. That's the type of player and person I am, all about resilience and giving maximum effort every single time that I'm out there and being a dominant factor. And once I felt like I wasn't even able to be that today, it stung a little bit.
I mean, look, it stung a lot. I mean, that offense certainly. So I saw a couple tweets yesterday, last night, yesterday afternoon, during the game. People questioning, all right, this is where we get to see what kind of receiver George Pickens is. He did finish with, what was it, 5 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. He's got 3,000 receiving yards now for his career after yesterday's ball game. But it's only one game. But I just felt like...
He wants $20 million a year, Fred.
Well, he didn't. I'm going to let's see what the Packers game looks like. Mm-hmm. All right,
because, well, game planning look, with here's the one.
Thing. Here's what we're going to see with George Pickens, and we know who his agent is. Mm-hmm. All right, David Mulligetta. I mean, this is your time to get paid. This is your. You couldn't have asked for a better dress rehearsal for the rest of the league, because now. I mean, Here's the thing about George Pickens.
Still got a good guy throwing you the ball. It's not like you got a backup throwing you the ball.
Absolutely. Dak's playing good football right now through 3 weeks.
And he'll feed you. We've seen him just feed Pepper to somebody with targets.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I was going to get to, is CD hasn't had a problem getting targets the first two games. Now, he's got, and even when he didn't have George Pickens, I mean, hell, even last year when Cooper Rush was throwing him the football and Jalen Tolbert was the number two, all right? CD doesn't have a problem getting open and getting the ball,
yep.
All right? So I don't want to see George Pickens, we should see 7, 8, 9 reception games the next 2, 3 weeks.
I don't want to see Jake Ferguson Pickens with double-digit targets or receptions again. That's what happened in that Bears game. What do you have, 13, 15 catches? That's not going to win you very many ball games.
I don't care if Jake Ferguson does, because look, Dak's going to throw it to him. That's his guy. I'll tell you what I would like to see. I'd like to see Jake Ferguson break a tackle.
Next segment. I got you.
Okay, I'm just going to leave that alone.
Let's hear how Dak felt after the tough offensive outing with losing CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. As I said, we got to go down there and cash in the red zone. Penalties right there, false starts, things like that. Hurt us, pushed us back there. They scored, right? They scored to go up, and then we get the ball back with a little bit of time left in the end of the first half, and right, we don't convert like we did in the end of last game, right, to give ourselves a chance to kick a field goal, and then we come out and three and out, or I mean, maybe we got one first down there, and that the start of the second drive, and then you look up and the game's pulling away from you, and that's tough when you're playing an offense that. Look like they're getting hot right there. They've got playmakers and they're making plays, and we weren't able to get them off the field. It's tough as a unit. It's tough to play complementary football together, and it's just tough. It's tough when you've got to be one-dimensional on offense.
So well-spoken our Dakota Rain Prescott is. Let's see if he's well-spoken about this one. What is it like playing without CeeDee Lamb, Dak?
I mean, obviously, you lose a player like CeeDee, it hurts, and it's hard to substitute that. When you've got the players that we've got, we're wondering anyways how teams are going to play us. So then when you lose a guy like that, maybe it made their game plan a lot easier from their standpoint to, you know, double George, Cloud George, what they did early. He was still able to make some plays. It's tough to win a game when you lose a player like CeeDee, for sure.
All right, I just want to hear this. Let's hear the first 10, 12 seconds. You're probably right. He probably will give a very generic answer. And if I don't like it... then I'll just say stop. Dak 8 on the interception.
Yeah, I mean, good little crossing pattern. Play we're very comfortable with. Thought I had GP was going to come clean. He got bumped up off his route, almost pushed toward the back of the end zone, and then I came back, right? Tolbert's going to the back pylon.
No, I'm good. That's all I needed to hear, Tolbert.
Oh, Tolbert was in the route. Okay. Makes sense. Hey, Dak, you're good. Dak, you're good.
Tolbert was involved. I've heard enough.
Dak, you're free. You're free of all that.
Tolbert's going to the back pylon.
See, that's.
So what you're saying is Tolbert in the wrong
route. Why not run the ball there?
4 times you passed. You didn't run it once.
From like the 2-yard line.
You didn't run it once.
No.
It's okay if you got CD out there. I trust that.
If you've got your full complement of receivers.
And you've been balling all game and you're moving.
Be my guest. Be my guest. But Javonte Williams has been the guy. Yeah. And
I'd love to see the Bears stop him 4 times for 2 years. Because the Bears' run defense isn't great.
Wasn't great.
Hasn't been good all year.
Of course, you would have known that yesterday.
I want to hear our boy Brian Schottenheimer. Let's hear somebody who's not on the field what it was like playing without CD and how the offense was not good yesterday.
Well, I thought, you know, the bigger thing for us was, you know, we were running the ball really well early in the game. And, you know, the score kind of got away from us a little bit. You know, shoot, we come out at halftime, we're only down 10, and we get start of a drive, and I think that was the bigger issue. You know, certainly you lose a player like CeeDee, it affects you. But again, you know, we just didn't play well. We really didn't, and told the guys that, you know, and this could be a humbling business. If you don't take care of business, you don't play well, then you're not going to win. And what I pointed out to the guys very clearly was, you know, we got to stop giving up big plays on defense, and we got to stop turning the ball over on offense. I mean, it's a bad formula. But, you know, we have played 3 out of 17, did not play well tonight. Certainly didn't play well enough to win. Give them credit. They did a good job, and they were better than us tonight.
So well spoken from Brian Schottenheimer. So he's just saying the right things. I mean, there's only so much you can do. He can't spin the ball out there. I want to – a big topic this past week was about communication, especially on the defensive side of the ball. There's some miscommunication. Guys not getting the call, the defense being confused, which is all of us as from the fan perspective. We see that on our couch every Sunday. What's going on the defense, Shotty? Is there a communication issue? Talk to us.
Same thing. You know, Diggs slips down on the one. I mean, he just stumbles. The flea flicker, we're right there, you know, and it's like, you know, whatever. But we did have
right
a guy
there, were we?
Up one time on a low route, let the guy get in behind him on something. That can't happen. So, again, just can't happen. You know, there's just too many big plays, and we know that. We addressed it. You know, I don't shy. I told the guys this. I said, hey, here's the deal. I don't just talk to you guys after a game and just throw a bunch of coach speak at you. I'm going to be honest with them. And I was. I mean, I told them, like I just said, I said, hey, we got to stop giving up big plays, explosives, and we got to protect the football.
Shotty, he's not going to give you coach speak. Just going to say how it is. Let's get one more Shotty in here.
Real quick, though. Because I know Diggs got roasted on social media, and I didn't think it was fair for the – I mean, he slipped. Okay, I mean, it's
– No, I'll say this. I'll say this. Bad angle as well. He's going high on the inside shoulder. He's not tracking him correctly on the type of route that Odunze ends up running right there. Even if he makes contact and stays in front of him, he just took a poor angle. And that has nothing to – all the people that are going to come when Diggs is hurt. The angle you take on jamming somebody has nothing to do with you being hurt.
Yeah.
Where your hands are out, that was a mental thing. Did he slip kind of after? Yes, and that happens, but it was...
I mean, it was a pretty bad slip.
Yeah, it was a poor angle, though, that set up the slip. So, as much as Diggs, cool guy, all that stuff, that was a bad play from start to finish. I'm not giving him any grief on that one, because I think that was bad from the beginning. Let's get Schottenheimer. What would you say your team was demoralized in this game?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think we didn't play well. And we didn't play well enough to win. And so that's why we're sitting here with a loss. And they converted third downs. We didn't. You know, they protected the ball. We didn't. They hit explosives. We didn't. This game is one of the games that you look at it and you're like, yeah, I mean, it's humbling. And it sucks. But we didn't play very good and got to play better to win in this league.
You know, has he been too nice?
Maybe he needs to be a little tough nose. Let's hear what Jerry has to say. Let's get out of here with this. Jerry, he's talking to all the Tolos and all the fatties. Here is his message after Sunday's game.
I want to credit the Bears for a big game. But I do want to say it's certainly understandable why we would all be frustrated. And I do understand their frustration. And we've got to do what you have to do. If you're not going forward in the NFL at this stage of the year, if you're not making positive steps, then you're losing ground. Because everybody starts off, they've got to make adjustments along the way for the for injuries and for depreciation in talent that they'd counted on. But there's a constant adjustment going on right now. And this is what we're seeing right here. Teams have lost their third game in the NFL, and they've gone on and participated really well in the playoffs. And more than likely have won some Super Bowls, even though they lost the third game in the NFL.
I love how Jerry acts like we were 2-0 before this and dominated. They just lost the third game, guys. Calm down.
Calm down, people. I mean, they're 1-2.
One more cut we'll play on the other side, and then when we come back, me and Fred are just going to light one into the Cowboys.
A Green Bay win would change everything.
Me and Fred get real with the Cowboys and their defense and how bad this team is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crimehouse Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Bears left to right at the 35-yard line. Go over the I formation. Williams with a toss right to Swift. A flea flicker back to Williams, and he's going deep, and he's got a man behind everybody, and it's Burden at the 20. And Luther Burden dances in for the 80-yard, 65-yard Chicago touchdown.
And yet that was one of the plays that Shoddy, who I'm a fan of, said we were right there.
The fact that Ben Johnson knew on film that play was going to work for it before he even called it. He goes, oh, they'll definitely fall for this.
And it was poorly executed behind the line of scrimmage.
But the Cowboys couldn't have fell for it worse. They were screaming at the line.
Malik Hooker was 10 yards deep, not even anywhere. And that's where Shoddy is saying, oh, we were right there. No, Shoddy, you weren't anywhere close to that play.
Like high schoolers are making that throw and scoring on that.
I mean, Malik Hooker couldn't have been, and again, for somebody that played under Eberflus in Indianapolis and should know this defense, should know how the system works, and is a veteran in the league, couldn't look more out of place. And Malik Hooker is a guy who I thought coming into this season, who, by the way, Malik had a great second half against the Philadelphia Eagles and has looked dreadful the final 2 weeks of the NFL, or of the last 2 weeks against the Bears and the Giants, two of the more lackluster franchises in the National Football League. So I wanted to ask you.
I got the snaps ready for you.
You did this segment on Saturday, snap counts, and I think we did on Sunday too. Guys, we wanted to see with more snap counts, and this kind of dovetails with something that we discussed with G-Bag during Crosstalk today about, I'm tired of everybody talking about how great Will McClay is. All right. And I'm not saying he's not a good GM or player picker, whatever the hell his role is over at the Star. But his body of work, look, first round picks, I get it. They're it's a 50-50 shot. All right. I mean, ask for every time you draft a Trey Lance with a number 3 overall pick and whiff, but then you somehow hit pay dirt with the Brock Purdy with the last pick of the draft, people kind of forget, like, oh, wow, okay, maybe you are a good drafter. You know, if you're Chris Ballard and you draft Anthony Richardson, who isn't great, but then you go out and you sign a Daniel Jones and resuscitate his career, and he's got you on this unbelievable hot streak, it all balances out.
Yeah.
Okay?
It just hasn't been good. It hasn't been good, Fred.
The drafting that this team has done, because I don't want to hear about how great he's been with first-round picks, all right? Tyler Booker, this year's draft class, we're not going to, you know, get too crazy into it. But this much I do know, all right? Through three games, Tyler Booker's just been okay, all right? Let's not pretend like Tyler Booker's been some
Should be the best offensive lineman based on his draft spot. Should be.
Well, I mean, he shouldn't be better than Tyron Smith.
No, out of the rookies. Out of the rookies in his
absolutely,
class.
Absolutely.
Him and Joe
absolutely.
Alt. And Joe Alt's been killing it.
Oh, Joe Alt's been a
every
monster.
Every other week you see perfect blocking. No pressure.
Joe Alt's been a monster. And they moved him from right to left, right? He's supposed to be right tackle. They moved him to left when Slater gets hurt.
So I'm not going to do the whole feel bad. No, you were drafted 12th overall. I'm not saying this directly to the book. I'm saying this more with the Cowboys. No, you were drafted 12th overall. There isn't a... No,
you're a plug-and-play right guard from Alabama.
He'll pan out in year two or three. No.
We need you to play today. We need you to play today. So Tyler Booker's been okay, but to your point, all right, great. He hasn't been a liability. Let's put it that way, okay? But Donovan Ezeraku.
He's been a B.
Donovan Ezeraku, I'm sorry, but you get an F. Okay, Donovan Ezeraku, for where you were drafted at, you were considered a steal in the second round, okay? You haven't sniffed the quarterback in three games.
Nope.
Savon Revelle, I'm not mad at you. He haven't played yet. Okay, that's fine. Jaden Blue hadn't even suited up.
Jaden Blue is either absolutely horrendous or the Cowboys don't know how to evaluate
running
backs.
No, I'm going to tell you right now. Jaden Blue's not bright. Okay.
Another plays, I guess?
No. Jaden Blue is just not a smart person from top to bottom, okay? Oh, wow. Here's what I mean by that, all right?
Quite the assertion.
He posted today on social media an Instagram story of him showing off his jewelry and his grill.
Okay.
Okay. Why?
Oh, is that all he did?
That's all he did.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. No,
you know what? No.
It's not very PR smart, but I wouldn't say
that's my point.
Okay.
You can't even get on the field in a team that needs... Because look, you're going to tell me you're better than Miles Sanders, that you couldn't use a little... you were drafted to be the home run hitter in this backfield. Can't play... And here's the thing. I could understand... I don't mind a bling video of you doing a reel if you're at least getting on the field. Mm-hmm. You've been a healthy scratch.
Yep.
Not hurt. A healthy scratch for three straight weeks.
Couple Cowboys notes for you guys. Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens declined to comment after the loss of the Bears. Trayvon Diggs said the issues with the secondary were not communication, but execution. Kenny Clark, his ankle got rolled up on, but he said he's fine. He returned to the game.
A lot of ankle injuries yesterday.
Yeah, man. Tyler Smith is focused on the details in practice and plans on taking a step forward as a leader this week for the young guys. Honestly, he should have been doing that. And just a funny little stat for George Pickens. George Pickens, in week two, had 9 targets for 5 receptions, 68 yards, and 1 touchdown, which equals 17.8 fantasy points. George Pickens in week three, 9 targets, 5 receptions, 68 yards, 1 touchdown, and 17.8 fantasy points. So back-to-back weeks, the exact same stat line. You had some snap count.
Right, so real quick, just run through, because I want to see this just from a, because we're going to get into some drafting stuff. We're not going to be able to get into the whole spiel of it here in this segment, maybe later on the show or maybe on Thursday at the very least. But Donovan Ezeraku, how many snap count? What was his snap count on Sunday?
Donovan Ezeraku, so in week one, he played 22 snaps, which would be 34%. In week two, he played 26 snaps, which would be 38%. And in week three, he played his highest percent. He played 45% of the snaps for the Dallas Cowboys, 27 total snaps.
Okay. And then what about our guy, Maris Leofau?
Maris Leofau. Give me a different player because I don't have his pulled up.
All right. What about our boy Marshawn Nealon?
Marshawn Nealon in week one played 30 snaps, which was 47% of the snaps. Week two, his snaps dropped to 27 for 40% for Marshawn Nealon. And in week three, he played his... the least amount of snaps, but it's still a higher percentage. You play 26 snaps, but 44% of them. So.
And then last but not least, you got anything on our boy Sam Williams?
I got Damone, Fowler, and Sanborn. If I can pull up Sam Williams, so give me 2 seconds. You want Sam or you want...
Give me Sam, because here's the thing. And the reason why this is interesting, these have all been... you've picked defensive ends 3 out of the last 4 years in the second round.
Sam Williams in week one played 61% of snaps. In week two, he played 61% of snaps. And in week three, his snaps dropped to 54%.
And by the way, you took Luke Schoonmaker in that 2023 draft, and outside of what? Nothing?
Well, while we're on the tight ends, I did want to get this quick rant off. I tweeted it.
By the way, 1 catch for 5 yards this season so far for Schooney.
I am not mad at Jake Ferguson because I don't think he's going into the huddle and saying, Dak, throw me a check down. So let me make that clear. A lot of players get mad. I don't think Jake is saying, I'm going to run 2 yards in the flat and you're going to throw me the ball. He's not the offensive coordinator. But I don't understand why Dak / OC or the play calling, we keep going. It seems like half of them are designed too. I know some of them, the play breaks down, these are check down. Stop throwing the ball to Jake Ferguson at the line of scrimmage or behind it, as if he's Travis Kelce or Brock Bowers or Trey McBride or one of these elusive tight ends. He's not.
He's not.
Or and maybe, he was exhausted at the end of the game, too.
Maybe he was 2 years ago, but I from watching on the couch watching, I don't think it takes a genius to realize it. He's not breaking tackles. So why are we wasting throws? Throwing it, if you're going to throw to Jake Ferguson, it's got to be at the sticks or past the sticks.
He does have a 93% catch rate.
Yeah, he's catching percentage. Everything. He's catching because they're 2 yards away, Fred. I had hope he could catch
Six yards of target.
Dude, Jake Ferguson... Every time he catches on the line of scrimmage, have you seen him break one tackle this year?
He looks like Mark Bavaro.
Can anybody text in right now and tell me one time Jake Ferguson's broke a tackle this year?
I wouldn't have seen him put a move on anybody.
I think he's got the most receptions on the team. Has to be.
Oh, he has to. He's got, 14. He's got 27 catches already. He's got 27 catches for 183 yards so far on the season. And I want to say...
And I'm not mad at Ferguson. I mean, I'm a little bit, but I'm saying the play calling. Why are we rolling out... We said this 2 years ago. The amount of times the Cowboys run the ball at the middle for half a yard, and then the next play is some play action where they throw to Jake Ferguson in the flat like it's fooling anybody. And you're still doing that. And it's okay if you got Brock Bowers a game breaker. I know he didn't play that well this week, but you get my point. And elusive tight end.
Who you telling?
It's okay if you do that. But when you're throwing to Jake Ferguson who gets tackled by the ankles by the first guy who touches them, it's not a very productive play. Just give the ball to Javonte at that point if we're going to do that. Piss me off watching that.
All right, coming up next, we got some suspensions ending this week, and was a team already ready to quit before the game even started? We'll discuss that more next. The NFL stat coming up, hour number two, right here, Fan After Dark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.